Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. My Lord, You are the controller of formidable strength in the three kinds of energy. You appear as the reservoir of all sense pleasure and the protector of the surrendered souls. You possess unlimited energy, but You are unapproachable by those who are unable to control their senses. I offer my respectful obeisances unto You again and again. Purport. Attachment, greed, and lust are three formidable forces that prevent one from concentrating upon the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. These forces act because the Supreme Lord does not like to be realized by non-devotees and atheists. However, when one surrenders unto the lotus feet of the Lord, these impediments are withdrawn, and one can realize the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, the Lord is the protector of the surrendered soul. One cannot become a devotee until one surrenders unto the lotus feet of the Lord. Then the Lord gives one the intelligence from within by which one can return home back to Godhead. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamaiham Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Juta Padakamalan Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Mancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So here in this verse, Gajendra is glorifying Krishna as the one who is the controller of formidable strength in the three kinds of energy. And the three kinds of energy being referred to in this purport by Srila Prabhupada is lust, greed, and attachment. So Prabhupada is explaining in the purport, because of lust, greed, and attachment, the whole world cannot recognize who is God. And we can contemplate in our own lives, according to the level of attachment we have, according to the level of greed that we have, and according to the level of lust that we have, to that degree we are blocked from actually realizing Krishna. So one may question why Krishna even creates these potencies in the first place. And I remember the story of Giriraj Maharaj when he was a brahmachari, and he came to Prabhupada and he said, "Prabhupada, I've been reading the philosophy of the Gita and I understand everything, but one thing I really don't understand, why did Krishna even create this material world?" Right? Why did Krishna create this material world which is full of so many obstacles, which is full of so many impediments, which is full of so many things which are diverting us from God? Why did Krishna create this world in the first place? And Prabhupada looked at him, stared at him, and after a long silence, Prabhupada looked at him and said, "Because you wanted it." So we're blocked from Krishna because we want to be blocked from Krishna. This is actually the philosophy of the Gita. Krishna is explaining, yoga maya samavrita, naham prakasha sarvasya, yoga maya samavrita. The foolish and ignorant people do not know me because I'm covered. I cover them. I cover them by lust, anger, greed, attachment, false ego, pride. I cover the living entities through these qualities because they want to forget me, and the only way they can forget me is if they're covered by these things. And so if we walk out into the world, then we see that the world is full of these things. Recently we were traveling in Ireland, and we went to Dublin. And in Dublin we have three Govinda's restaurants, good restaurants. Usually prasadam is always a problem on book distribution. It can sometimes be muesli for a whole month because we can't be bothered to cook anything. But it was very good. In Ireland we could have prasadam at the Govinda's. So one of the Govinda's restaurants we went to, this is quite interesting. The Govinda's restaurant was on the street, and then on the right hand side of the Govinda's restaurant was a William Hill's betting shop, and then right next to the William Hill's betting shop was a video shop and a kind of illicit video shop, and then on the left side of Govinda's was a butcher's. And like this, I was thinking, if you step out of this temple, within 10 steps, you could break all the four regs if you wanted to. Right? You don't have to go far. Because lust, greed, attachment, these things are so strife in the world that we're living in. So Krishna is warning us in the Gita that if we become entangled in these things, then we will lose all our intelligence and we'll fall down. Therefore Krishna says in the second chapter of the Gita, Dhyayato Vishayan Pumsha Sangaste Su Pajayate Sangat Sanjayate Kama Kama Krodo Vijayate Krodat Bhavati Sammoha Sammoha Smriti Vibrama Smriti Brahmsat Buddhinaso Buddhinasat Pranashyati. This is the ultimate psychology that Krishna is giving in the Gita. Krishna says from dhyan comes sangha. If you meditate on something again and again, then sangha, you develop attachment for that thing. Then Krishna is saying from sangha comes karma. If you develop attachment for something, then you will develop an intense lust to have that thing. Then Krishna is saying from karma comes krodha. When you have lust, then inevitably it will transform into anger. Why? Because if you satisfy your lust, or if you achieve the object of your lust, then you will realize it doesn't satisfy you and you will look for something else, so you'll become frustrated. Because the thing that you thought would satisfy you doesn't satisfy you, and therefore you'll become angry. Or the thing that you lust after, you just won't be able to get it, and in that way you'll become angry. So if you have karma, lust, you will inevitably develop krodha, one way or the other. Therefore Krishna says, kama krodho. And then Krishna says, krodat bhavati sammoha. From krodha comes sammoha. When you're angry, you become sammoha, which means completely bewildered. Completely illusioned. Moha means illusion. And sammoha means completely illusioned. And you see that when people become angry, They say things, they do things, they think things that they would never think otherwise. Because when you're angry, everything becomes covered. Therefore, Krishna says, Krodat bhavati sammoha. And then Krishna says, Sammoha smriti vibhrama. When you're completely bewildered, then smriti vibhrama, you lose all your memory. You lose memory of what's good for you, what's bad for you, what you should be doing, what you shouldn't be doing. You lose all your memory. You lose all your intelligence. And then Krishna says, Smriti Brahmsat Vinashyati. Once you've lost your memory, you fall down completely. So from dhyan comes sangha. From sangha comes kama. From kama comes krodha. From krodha comes sammoha. From sammoha comes smriti vibhrama. And from smriti vibhrama comes complete fall down. But you see how the process starts with dhyan. Whatever you meditate on, whatever you contemplate, whatever you look at, that thing determines your future. Therefore, even in the world, they say, a thought leads to an action. An action leads to a habit. A habit leads to a character. And a character leads to a destiny. But it all starts with thoughts. Therefore, we should be very careful what we think about and what we meditate on. Because sometimes we go through life and we think that the things that are going into our mind are not affecting us. But everything affects you. Because what goes in must come out. So whatever image goes in, at some point it will come out into your consciousness. And if you're not strong, then those thoughts will affect you. Therefore, it's an important principle to be very careful about what we meditate on. But in Krishna consciousness, what we're trying to do is reverse this whole process. So Krishna gives the psychology of how from dhyan you can go all the way to fall down. But if we meditate on the right thing, then dhyan can lead to elevation. Right? So if we meditate or have dhyan on material things, it will lead to fall down. But the dhyan on Krishna or on spirituality or on shastras, that kind of dhyan will elevate us. Because by meditating on Krishna, then sangha, you develop attachment for Krishna. Then from sangha, not karma, lust for material things, but love for spiritual things. So like this, we can use the same psychology to actually elevate ourselves. So here Krishna is explaining that lust is actually the root of everything. He said that all good qualities are coming from love for Krishna. There is what we call the Swarup Lakshan and a Tatastha Lakshan. Swarup Lakshan means the essential quality, and Tatastha Lakshan means the secondary qualities or the qualities which are manifesting from the primary quality. So he said that the Swarup Lakshan of good qualities is surrender to Krishna. And from that Swarup Lakshan of surrender or love for Krishna, all the Tatastha Lakshan of good qualities develop. Compassion, tolerance, patience, like this, truthfulness. And he said that the Swarup Lakshan of bad qualities is karma or lust. And if you have this lust or desire for material things, then all the Tatastha Lakshan of bad qualities develop. Pride, anger, ego, harshness. Therefore, Krishna therefore says, Kama Esha, Krodha Esha, Rajaguna Samudbhava, that lust is actually the all-devouring sinful enemy of this world. And Krishna says of lust, duspuraina nalena cha, that lust burns like fire. No matter how much you try to satisfy lust, it will just burn more and more and more. So really the process of Krishna consciousness is to transform lust into love. And the first thing that's required is that we have to restrain ourselves from sense enjoyment. Because if we don't restrain ourselves from sense enjoyment or the desire for material things or the desire to gratify the body and the mind, if we don't do that, then actually we'll just become more and more entangled and bewildered in the complexities of this material world. But it's very difficult. It's very difficult to give up instant pleasure. It's very difficult to give up a satisfaction which seems so real and which seems so immediate and which seems so tangible to us. And it's very difficult to give that up and try to replace it with something that seems very, very distant, which seems very, very intangible, which sounds very, very nice, but practically seems very, very difficult to experience in our lives. Therefore, this is a constant struggle for the devotee to give up the immediate pleasure and to instead focus on the eternal pleasure. But it's possible, and a few things are required. In order to learn this art of giving up immediate pleasure and instead going for eternal pleasure, a few things are required in our life. The first thing is we have to have conviction. We have to have conviction in the goal that we're trying to achieve. If we have conviction in the goal, then it's very easy for one to give up the immediate pleasure. It's not a problem. Therefore, to read the Shastras, to read about Krishna's pastimes, to read about the unlimited bliss and happiness of the spiritual world is essential. Because unless we have conviction in that goal, unless we have conviction in the spiritual goal that we're trying to achieve, it will be very difficult to give up the immediate pleasures. Shishirada Gokula Ananda ki, Shishisataram Lakshman Hanuman ki, Shishigonita ki. So the first thing that's required is conviction. To the extent that we have conviction, we can forego the burning desire for immediate pleasure. And this conviction really comes from reading the Shastra. The second thing that's very, very important in overcoming lust, in overcoming the desires for sense enjoyment, is openness. In our desires to overcome the desires for sense enjoyment, sometimes we may succeed and sometimes we may fail. So a devotee is constantly on this path and it's very difficult. Sometimes the devotee is succeeding and sometimes the devotee is failing. Even Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami says, Durgame patimendasya skalat pada gater muhu. Kaviraj Goswami says, my path is very, very difficult and I am slipping again and again. But the stick of the mercy of the Vaishnavas is holding me up. Therefore, openness is very, very important. That in times of success or in times of failure in our spiritual life, we should always be open with another devotee. We should reveal our mind. Guyam akyati prachati. Because it is this honesty with another Vaishnava, it is this sincere desire to improve and inquire from a Vaishnava as to how you can improve. This is actually the process by which we can elevate ourselves in spiritual life. Therefore, openness with another devotee is very, very important in our attempts to overcome lust, in our attempts to overcome sense enjoyment. The third thing that's very, very important to overcome lust is, we call it safety. One must be very, very careful to avoid circumstances, situations, people that may ignite one's desires for sense enjoyment. It's interesting, in the Bhagavatam, it says that more dangerous than even associating with the opposite sex is to associate with a person who is enamored by the opposite sex. Because the desires of the people around us very, very much affect us. So therefore, safety is very, very important. You have to protect yourselves from being in environments or being with people who may ignite your desires for sense enjoyment. And the final thing is, that's important in overcoming lust, is taste. To the extent that we get a taste for Krishna consciousness, to the extent that we get a taste for spiritual activities, to that extent we are able to replace our desires for sense enjoyment and thereby overcome them. Therefore Krishna says in the Gita, Vishaya vinivartante niraharasya dehina rasavarjam rasopyasya param drishtva nivartate. That unless one gets the param drishtva, unless one gets the higher taste, one may by force restrain themselves from sense enjoyment, but the taste will still remain. And Krishna says, only one who has restrained themselves by dint of experiencing a higher taste, only that person can give up the lower. Therefore, we use this acronym to remember how to overcome lust. If you want to overcome lust, it will cost you. Cost. C stands for conviction. O stands for openness. S stands for safety. And T stands for taste. This is the way to overcome lust. And in many, many quotations, actually, where you read of Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada explains that the basic principle of the material world and the basic principle of lust is the desire to enjoy the opposite sex. The Bhagavatam says, Pumsha Striyametuni Bhavametam, that the basic principle of material life is the attraction of man for woman and woman for man. And the whole world is going on this conception. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada says, if you can overcome this attraction, if you can overcome this desire for sense enjoyment, then in many, many quotes, if you search, you can search on the Veda base, Prabhupada says, you're 50% liberated. Just by dint of overcoming the desires for sense enjoyment, you're already 50% liberated. In another place, Prabhupada says, for one who has overcome the desires for sense enjoyment, they already have one foot in the spiritual world. But here, what is being explained is that to the extent that we're covered, to the extent that we're infected with these anartas of lust, attachment, to that extent we will not be able to see Krishna in our life and will not be able to perceive His hand in everything that's going on around us. So I could carry on, but I'm going to stop here. There's a few minutes. If there's any questions or correction.